The scripture today is taken from Psalm 133, verse 1. The title of this particular psalm is A Song of Ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Here ends today's scripture.
The reading today, Penny said, Psalm 133, Song of Ascents. She only read us the first verse. And it talks about living together in unity. And from that, I took a big leap because I thought, well, that's about family. And so away I went with family. The Song of Ascents, there are about 15 of them. And they sang those as they were going up to Jerusalem. And when we say up to Jerusalem, we mean up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a hill, on a hill. It's called the city on a hill. I've forgotten how high up it is above elevation, but it drops down 20 miles away. It's about 1,300 feet below sea level is the Dead Sea. So when people went to Jerusalem, they had to go up to Jerusalem. I want you to imagine for a minute that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the city on the hill. That is the big temple where the people would go. And they had, Passover was the biggest celebration, but they had other celebrations in the year. And it had gotten to the point where all of the sacrificial ritual services were to be held in Jerusalem. So there was this tremendous influx of people that would come. We talked a couple of weeks ago about that's when Jesus got crucified, because he was there at the time of this huge group of people. Now we're going to imagine that that we are the size of Traverse City. Traverse City is about 40 or 50,000, and we are about 10,000 here inside the city limits. So that's how many people would have been in that time in Jerusalem. And we're going to say that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the city, is the church up there. So we're going to imagine we have an extra 200,000 people who've come to town, and we're all going to march up the hill, because we have to march up a hill to get to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And as we go, you know, the people that live over on Winona, or the people that live on wherever they live, on Marble Street, and from everywhere around, and the people that live from Crestview, and the people that live out on 55, and the people from Manton, and the people from McBain, are all coming to church, and they're all singing as they come, because there were a variety of these songs that they sang, and they were the song of ascents, the songs that they sang as they went up the hill. And they would have sung the same songs, I imagine, over and over again. And this is the first line from one of those songs. There are about 15 that are here in the Bible, but I'm sure they had many more at the time. So that's what our bulletin cover is about today. You can see the hill, and you can see the city on the hill, Jerusalem, where they went singing up to go to worship. So that led me to family. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. God's people, meaning all of God's people, and God's people are an assembly of family units. The family in every culture is first and foremost the basic unit of the society. My own family. My Uncle Douglas was 10 years older than I. He took an interest in my guidance. That is, he bossed me around, told me what I could do and what I shouldn't do. And I retaliated, but that's the way you do it. And he said, don't do what I do what I say. And that seems to be the way the Bible approaches family life. We need go no further than the first chapter of Genesis to begin learning what the Bible tells us to do about families. Genesis, first chapter. God created mankind. He created them male. Oh, God created humankind. I got to keep up with the right latest translation. He created them male and female. And in the next verse, he tells these two new humans to be fruitful and multiply. Two of the Ten Commandments have to do with family. The fifth one, honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord has given you. And the seventh one, thou shalt not commit adultery. In Matthew 19, Jesus taught, A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Hebrews, one of the letters in the New Testament. Marriage must be respected by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge immoral people and adulterers. Proverbs. He who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And the last whole part of Proverbs, 21 verses, is devoted to praising a capable wife. It's owed to a capable wife, all the good things about a capable wife. From Psalms 128, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Timothy, now if anyone does not provide for his own relatives, and especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Proverbs again. Teach a youth about the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Psalms. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward. Happy is the man who has many of them. Proverbs. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. Timothy. If any widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn to practice their religion toward their own family first, and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. Ephesians. This is attributed to Paul. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Wives, be subject to your husbands. I don't believe anyone should be subject to another person, but I understand the intent of the biblical authors. The husband, the father, was responsible for the well-being of the family. It was the society that put pressure on the men to be the providers for the benefit of the family. Wives were expected to go along with this program. Of course, this was not always possible. In the book of Ruth, all the male providers have died. Ruth and Orpah were the daughters-in-law of Naomi. Naomi's husband had died, as had her two sons, the husbands of her two daughters-in-law. The women were left on their own to make a living as gleaners. And Orpah sounds a lot like Oprah. We all know Oprah. And Oprah was supposed to have been Orpah, but somewhere along the way it got turned around, so she's Oprah. We know a whole lot more about Oprah than we know about Orpah. However, family was paramount, as shown by Ruth stayed with her mother-in-law when they returned to Judah, which was Naomi's own country. When God is disgusted with his creation and determined to send a flood to destroy the errant people, he saves the family of Noah. There is no question about the biblical exhortations on the great value of family life. Family is the centerpiece of biblical culture, just as it must be and is for every civilization. However, in spite of all admonishments, all is not rosy in the biblical families. A greater group of dysfunctional families would be hard to find. Starting at the beginning, we only have to go from chapter 1 in the creation of Adam and Eve to chapter 4 when Cain murders Abel, the first fratricide. Abraham and Sarah. When they cannot have a child, Abraham, at Sarah, his wife's request, has a boy child with the maid Hagar. Hagar gets uppity about this, and Sarah sends her packing. Abraham and Sarah do have a child of their own making, Isaac. When Isaac is grown with a wife, Rebekah, they have twins. The firstborn twin is Esau, the secondborn is Jacob. The firstborn child in these times was the rightful inheritor. And Isaac's favorite son was Esau. Now Esau was a man's man, but Rebekah's favorite was Jacob, more of a homebody. So mother Rebekah and son Jacob conspire against her husband, Isaac, to do Esau out of his rightful inheritance, and they succeed. So Jacob becomes the inheritor. He, in his turn, becomes the father of 13 children. 12 boys and one daughter are named in the Bible. And he, like his mother, has a favorite child. His favorite is Joseph. This is the Joseph of the Donny Osmond movie, the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And Joseph's brothers are so jealous of him, they decide to kill him and throw his body into a pit. Reuben, some stories it's Reuben saves him, others it's Judah. Reuben, the eldest brother, prevents the murder. Instead, they throw him into a pit, and then they pull him out again and sell him into slavery to Egypt. So that's how that family behaves. Lot, the Lot who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, was the nephew of Abraham. When God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness of the people, he allows Lot, his wife, and two daughters to escape. However, not until after Lot has offered his daughters to a rape-crazy crowd, angels prevented the rape. On the way out of town, Lot's wife looks back at the destruction raining down on the city, and she is turned into a pillar of salt. The daughters and the dad escape, and the daughters are convinced that all of humankind is being destroyed, so they sleep with their father to keep human civilization going, so they think. The children from this mating become the neighbors. This is all mythological. The children of these matings become the neighbors of Israel or Palestine or Canaan and become their enemies. King David, the greatest king in the Hebrew history, but his family was as dysfunctional as they come. First, he desires Bathsheba, the wife of another man. Bathsheba's husband is Uriah, a general in David's army. So David arranges for him to be sent into battle and have the army drop back, leaving only Uriah, the leader of the army, up front and unprotected. It's killed. So Bathsheba is free to marry David, which she does. They have children. King David's kids, are regular bad doers. Since David had children with more than one wife, there were half-brothers and half-sisters. Daughter Tamar is raped by her half-brother Amnon, and this rape is avenged by her full brother Absalom. And eventually Absalom tries to steal the kingdom from David, and he's killed by David's general. Another one of David's children is Solomon. Solomon by the stolen wife Bathsheba. Bathsheba intervenes with King David so that Solomon gets ahead of one of the other brothers who is really more in line for the succession. So we get Solomon. And of course, we already know that Solomon was the one with the 700 wives and the 300 concubines. So that makes him a big family man. The biblical ideal is not necessarily the reality, not even in the Bible. The Bible, like life, tells how we wish things were, and then again, how things really are. We should not be dismayed, should not be upset if a little dysfunction creeps in now and then. We should follow the biblical teaching, not the biblical example. Or, as Uncle Douglas used to say, don't do as I do as I say. Amen.